I have Jim Compton on the line with the National Veterans Committee for Constitutional Affairs. He's the Pennsylvania state coordinator who's been helping to lobby the opt-out bill in Pennsylvania, which recently passed to stop Real ID in that state. We're going to talk to him about state to federal regulations in terms of Real ID, because there's a lot of regulations and many of them not going to set the world on fire. They're kind of benign. But the couple of them that are things like the biometric requirements, the facial recognition conversion technology, and the need for the interlinking databases across state lines. Sometimes those things are useful and they're good and we can see why they have them. And sometimes they're a violation of your human rights, your constitutional rights. And in this case, we're going to talk to Jim Compton about his work, first on the bill that passed, and then we're going to discuss more of what's going on with the biometrics in that state. So welcome, Jim.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I have, good news is that we had Senator Fulmer's bill, which was Senate Bill, Senate Bill 354 passed, and here's the key provision. And it says neither the governor nor the Department of Transportation or other Commonwealth agency shall participate in the Real ID Act of 2005 or the regulations promulgated thereunder. Now, that's pretty powerful, I think. However, they had to strike out a few words in the original. It was the compliance of any provision of the Real ID Act. Mm-hmm. They struck out the compliance of any provision. And I think that was done because PennDOT didn't like that wording. So my concern right now is that PennDOT is going to continue to do the biometrics. And the reason I say that is because they've been doing it for a long time. They use the biometrics to determine if somebody has a driver's license under a different name, or if they have a driver's license in another state under maybe a different name also. All these databases are sort of connected together. I mean, you have access to someone like a PennDOT could go to California or Ohio or somewhere else. If they have someone coming into the state and wanting a driver's license, they'll take their picture and they'll go out and look and see if they're somewhere else. So that's what really bothers me. But nonetheless, we are the 16th state to say no to Real ID, plus we're the largest state. Now, I think that's really key.
I've watched this for years, and somehow that 16 number seems to stay static no matter how many new states actually join up. When the PASS Act was being introduced, it was at 15, 16. And since that time, Utah adopted opt-out language or contrarian language, and you, and I think maybe one or two other states adopted contrary language to the Real ID Act.
Oh.
But you know,
maybe it's more than 16 then.
Well, it's actually about 25. It's actually
okay,
over 25 now.
There may be a lot of resolutions out there. Saying, hey, we don't like what you're doing.
Well, I mean, those are legislations and not laws. You have the gold standard of what state law could be, which is to have a Real ID piece of legislation that says, no, we're not going to adopt any of this, and we reserve the right to boot this out of our state and insulate ourselves from the negative effects of Real ID. Let me talk to you about the tenet that I find probably the most troubling about Real ID. It's the provision that gives DHS the authority to determine the official purpose of an identity article.
DHS, it's really interesting. See, all this sort of ties in. I look at it as a big brother. It sort of all ties in together. Homeland Security is out there buying all these high-resolution cameras that they're putting up in different cities.
Right.
In fact, if you go down the interstate, you can see them. They're way up high. But an operator for one of those cameras, if he has access to the database, he can take a picture of an individual, convert it to biometrics, go against the database, and find out who it is. That is way over the top, in my opinion. That is totally uncalled for. However, even the states that have said they're not going to do real ID, their DMVs or Departments of Transportation or Department of Safety, whoever issues the driver's licenses, are still doing biometrics on people, and that's going in the database. Now, one of the things that the Real ID Act requires is that you also have to put a Social Security number in that database, and that sets you up for identity theft. But it'll be very interesting to see, like in Pennsylvania, we have a lot of Mennonites, Amish-type sects that look at a Social Security number as a mark of the beast, and they don't have Social Security numbers, but they've had driver licenses, okay? And all of a sudden, PennDOT would not issue a driver's license unless they had a Social Security number. So it'll be interesting to see once this law goes into effect, and I think it's supposed to be like 60 days or so, once it goes into effect, to see if PennDOT, in fact, will reissue driver's license for those that don't have a Social Security number. That would be very telling.
Right. So there's some biometric stuff going on with you and state legislature in Pennsylvania regarding the biometric piece.
Senator Kitchen has a bill out. In fact, it went through committee the same time the Senator Fulmer's bill went through. And that bill is really a powerful bill, in my opinion. The general rule it says it shall be unlawful for any government agency to deny to any individual any right, benefit, or privilege provided by law because the individual refused to disclose the individual's biometric data. So, in other words, if you go down to say PennDOT and you want to get a driver's license and they want to take a biometric picture of you, you say I don't want to do that, then they can't deny you that driver's license. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that puts PennDOT right smack, boom, you can't do it. And PennDOT's not going to like that because they use the biometrics to make their job easier, okay? But my argument is you can't violate my rights to make your job easier.
You know, and this is what it's about. It's about their convenience. It's the convenience of an intelligence bureaucrat. That's why they want things like the CALEA, which is basically the FBI is trying to get laptop manufacturers to build in surveillance capabilities so that they can listen in on people easier.
Yeah, that's
where it's coming from.
They ought to know better than that. They took an oath. They ought to know better. That's one of our problems. I think a lot of the folks that we have elected to office and or serving as a government employee haven't even read the Declaration of Rights or the Bill of Rights. Every time we made one step forward, we had to take a couple back because there's more stuff coming down that's just unreal.
So let me talk to you about the process then, because this was a 4 years in the making. These legislative fights don't go one session, two sessions. You guys were in it 4 years.
Actually, this is the third. We have 2 year sessions, and this is the third session that we've been working this issue.
Whoa! So it's 6 years.
Yeah. Well, it's really about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had Aaron Bollinger come up from South Carolina, and he was successful down there in getting South Carolina to say we're not going to participate in OID. And I had been listening to or watched Aaron Russo's movie, America Freedom of Fascism, and in there he talked about real ID.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Aaron to come up, and I put him up here for a couple weeks. And just before the end of a session, we got over to Harrisburg, and we really worked. It wasn't the end of the session. It was basically before they went on the summer break. They were doing the budget. We just worked like crazy trying to get the bill through committee. Senator Sam Rohrt, he's a representative, had a bill, and just trying to get it through committee. And it didn't happen before the summer break. But after the summer break, we finally got it through committee. But then when it got over to the Senate, it died in a committee over there. And the interesting thing is Senator Wonderling was the chair of the committee it went to, which was the Transportation or Communications and Technology Committee. And come to find out, it died over there basically because he used to work for PennDOT. says, oh boy, they're strange bedfellows. And, you know, they're just looking out for each other. So that's one of the issues that I've learned. You know, the representatives and senators are supposed to be representing the people. And what I'm learning is that they are all collusion together. The governor, talks with the legislature. She says, I like this, I don't like that, send me this, don't send me that, or whatever it may be. The politics is just unbelievable. So you have to work around it. You have to do, Senator Fulmer would have probably made a stronger bill. Well, he did, except they had to strike out those few words. But I was talking with him. He says, Jim, he said, let's get it through. At least we let the federal government know that we're out of it, that we're not going to participate. Now, PennDOT's still doing their thing. Hopefully, they're going to stop. Hopefully, we've curbed them a little bit. But the next one is going to be Senator Kitchen's bill. And she's a Democrat from down in Philadelphia. And she's a lady that believes in liberty. I love her.
She's sponsoring your bill. I get that. The partisanship is irrelevant to me if they're going to protect my rights.
That's right. I'm all for liberty. I believe that we have got to return our country to where we have liberty. And the opposite of liberty is control. And what we're seeing more and more and more out of the federal government is we're going to control your lives. You know, here we are fighting this war on terror, and we're basically putting ourselves under tyranny, or, you know, our own government's putting us under tyranny.
More so the reason that I think it's important for states to insulate themselves, because Washington, D.C., once they passed the NDAA, that was the kind of cutoff time for me to just say, okay, the gloves are off. This is obviously an adversarial relationship they have, a predatory one, with the American people. I have no problems saying that this is where it's going. You know, and the only reason why I can safely say that is because I've spent time in an American dictatorship. Okay? We engineer dictatorships in third world countries. It's called the School of Americas. It's not something that's new, but we do that. And posing to the American people, like, we're the good guys, it's not our fault. In the meantime, people who are fighting for their lives, trying to get bona fide democracy, sovereignty within their countries, are kind of, indirectly, they're fighting us. And they shouldn't be. And the reason why they're fighting us is because of weird corporate entitlements on their resources.
Have you ever read the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins?
It's good. It's good stuff. I recommend it.
It is. And that's just what you're talking about right now, is it's the corporations. And I read that book, and when I was in the service, I participated in part of it and didn't even know I was participating. And, you know, it's like you don't see the big picture.
So I want to go back to this, is that, I got really angry a couple weeks ago because there are contractors kind of landmined or mired amid national effort to stop Real ID. There are people who pose as friends whom are not friends. And I mentioned no names here, but I would say the person who is the tchotchke contractor who wants to bill out the biometrics, the technologies, the little codes and holograms, those people want to lobby in part, but they're not lobbying as strong as people like the Coalition for Secure Driver's Licenses. And even they've backed down a little bit because I think they recognize that this, you know, 25 states can't really be wrong. There's something wrong with Real ID. There's a fundamental flaw there that makes it a national identity program. There are others. There are the ones who are the national security hawks, the ones that say, oh, well, you need this to fight terrorism, when in fact all of the reasoning to bring us the national ID card program, porous, the water goes right through. The people who got into this country had visas, and the visas were approved, reapproved by the State Department. So I don't need to take a fascist national ID card because the passport people couldn't do their job. You know,
that's right, and I can tell you the situation. I know an attorney that was overseas, an attaché, and the guy came in and he wanted a passport to the States, and this there? No, but I want a passport to you. And he says, I'm sorry. Well, he was a friend of the ambassador's, U.S. ambassador's taxi driver, or drove him around. He wasn't a taxi driver because he's just a chauffeur. And the chauffeur said to the ambassador, my friend can't get a passport. Can you help? So he was basically, the lawyer was told to make or issue the passport to that guy. You know, just, he didn't have any reason to come. He just wanted to come. And that's what happens, you know. Like you're saying, they didn't do their job.
It's weird. There's a lot of weirdness. And I think that they're, instead of just fixing it, which would be the logical thing to do, they try to cover. They don't say, well, we're going to fix this. This is a problem. You know, I would say I congratulate the wise people in government, because I have seen, you know, good things over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when they recognize there is a problem and they actually try to fix it, rather than trying to, you know, pave over it or cover over it, and then, you know, send five men to intimidate the people who saw it, you know, that's crap, okay? That's not how you treat your citizens.
That's true.
You know, what you do is you acknowledge the problem, you say, you know what, we're going to expedite the way to fix this.
Well, here's a good idea. Just read Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and that's all you can do, guys.
So let's get back to PA. This is really supposed to be about you and the Pennsylvania driver's license initiative.
But we've made major milestones, I should say, with the real ID, and I'm just elated over it. Like I said, the next thing that we're probably going to be doing is we'll be writing up a little. Well, first of all, I'm going to send a Bravo Zulu one-page handout to all the legislators and the governor, saying, "Hey, thanks for passing the bill to kill real ID." And I said, you know, just basically reiterate what the problem with real ID was. And then we'll probably start working, or I'll probably write up a one-pager trying to support Senator Kitchen's bill to stop biometrics when it's not necessary. And for example, you know, not only biometrics, but what does having a Social Security number have to do with your ability to operate a motor vehicle?
I don't know.
See, there's some really crazy things going on. And, you know, sometimes I think that Satan works incrementally.
Satan. It's not an administrative bureaucrat at the DMV. It's Satan.
Incrementally, we're being taken down a road that we don't really want to go. And, you know, you're almost forced to do it because you... if you can't get this service, or if you can't, you know, get a driver's license, for example, then you can't live, you know. And this is supposed to be a country of freedom.
Makes it hard.
Do what we want to do for our happiness. You know, as long as we don't step on somebody else's toes, or, you know, step on their rights, or ruin their property, or something like that. So it's about control. Real ID is one aspect of it. So we're making some progress. I'm really happy that we've done this so far, and I'm really looking forward to see what we can do with Senator Kitchen's bill too. And the other thing you learned down there in the Capitol, there's a lot of politics. You know, you have to be careful what bill you support and you don't. If you support one, or if you don't support one, because if you support something, let's say if you're a Republican and you support a Democrat, then they get all over your case, okay? Then you can't get something done. It's just absolutely crazy.
Well, your piece touched my carrots, and I don't want you to talk to that person. Why did you talk to them? It's very, very, very high school. It's so ridiculous, and I think that that's why a lot of people just get exasperated about politics, because they're like, I graduated from high school. I don't have to deal with this anymore. But then there are people who are just kind of like peaking and kind of stuck there. And then sometimes the people who are in government are actually above that. The people that you deal with seem to be reasonable, level-headed people. But when you're playing politics, it doesn't get any better. I mean, you're always going to have that problem.
Well, one of the things that when it comes to liberty and you know, Big Brother and things like that, we get support from both sides of the aisle. For example, the very first bill that Sam Rohr, Representative Sam Rohr, put out on Against Real ID. Mm-hmm. We had 90 co-sponsors out of 203 House members. We
that's
had
not 90 bad.
Sign on as co-sponsors. That's a big number. And I think that's the reason, well, one of the other representatives, they didn't like the biometrics that Sam had in his, so they came back, and that was Curtis Thomas was a representative from Philadelphia. He came back and wrote his own bill, and he introduced his own bill into committee, because he had both bills there. He had Sam's bill and his own bill. He introduced his own bill, and, you know, we were kind of perplexed a little bit. You know, we want Sam's bill, but that didn't come out, so get Thomas's bill passed, which dropped out all the biometrics. And then when it went to the floor for the second reading, at which time they can make amendments, Sam Rohr got up and tried to put the amendment in to put the biometrics back in, okay?
Yeah.
And it failed on party lines, and the more Democrats and more Republicans. So there's a situation where he had the politics involved.
Yeah. I mean, that's not uncommon. Bill that was in Missouri was a similar disaster. And in the end, you know, the author just more or less killed his own child. It's one of those strange things, like a contractor will get in the mix. And even if the bill passes, like in your state, you have got to watch the administrative agency, like your DMV or your DPS or your PennDOT.
Department of Transportation. Yeah,
for fiat administrative way, because they'll still request the money from the federal government. And they'll get it.
That's amazing.
If you had one wish for Pennsylvania, because, you know, it's one of the birthplaces of liberty, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So
Liberty Bell.
Yeah. So it's appropriate. It really sends a resounding gong. We're on the rebound.
I think our goal, our real goal would be for our legislators and the folks down in Congress to honor their oath, follow their oath. If they would do that, a lot of the problems we have in our country would just go away. You can't have, we are a republic, we're not a democracy. And the way we've become a democracy, which is the rule by majority, is because people get voted into office who have not read what the rule book is, i.e. our fundamental law or the Constitution, be it the state and or the federal. Okay, they haven't read it, they don't understand it, and they are voting. They got into office because they promised the electorate that they will do something for them. Okay, and I think there's a guy by the name of Taylor, back in from England or somewhere, that said democracies only last about 200 years, and whenever the electorate finds out that they can get large sums of money out of the public treasure, that's when things go bad. And the country collapses over economics, and it ends up in a dictatorship. And
look at what we're staring at. The NDAA is exactly that. You know, this culture, unfortunately, we can't even get the corporations to stop saying, gimme, 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 gimme. And I'm thinking, okay, if you are a mammoth corporation, and you're on the federal teat, what does that say to small, struggling businesses who are trying to offer a competitive alternative to whatever it is that they have in the marketplace? You know, when the government starts trickling down money into the corporate politics, it merges this fascist element.
Yeah. You know, this is really interesting what we're talking about right now. I don't know if you remember Curtis and the Wright brothers. The Wright brothers really came up with how to fly an airplane, okay? But Curtis, he was up in New York State, he had an in with the Navy, Department of the Navy, and the Navy bought his aircraft, okay? But his aircraft didn't have what we call ailerons to allow for a coordinated turn. When they do a turn, they'd kick the rudder and it would skid all the way around, okay? But the Wright brothers figured it out, and the Wright brothers could, airplanes, the one that they flew was a much better airplane. But because Curtis had an in with the Department of Navy, the Department of Navy bought his airplane. Isn't that amazing?
Well, I mean, and that's what we're going to continue to kind of really, that's going to be the indirect tour de force, I think, moving Real ID. It's going to be all these little mechanical parts, which rely on some contractors. But it's also going to be ideological agenda of people at Center for Immigration Studies who believe that there are Mexican terrorists who are invading. There's, you know, if they're criminal elements, they're free to be arrested and deported and kicked out of this country. They're way overdoing it. And you're right, it's about control. Real ID is always going to be about that, and so I'm going to be there with you, rallying in the fight. So we've been speaking with Jim Compton of the NVCCA. He was a vanguard in the Real ID opposition in the state of Pennsylvania. Successful! A success story on all fronts, and we'll continue to marshal his success in the biometrics foray. Thank you for joining us, Jim.